Hey everybody, welcome to the Irregular Search for Truth. My name's Scott.
And I'm Sachin.
We may have just clipped the brand new metering system of our recording.
It's a sensitive recording system. I might turn it down. Alright, that's point four.
Alright. How you doing, people?
Good to hear it.
Oh my god, we're dorks. It's been a while. It's good to be back at the Irregular Search for Truth offices here in beautiful San Francisco, California. When we last left you, we were on volume one. Maybe we were on volume two, because we did a few episodes of the Intercontinental
Irregular Search for Truth. So this is volume three, then.
This is volume three. New and improved. Better than ever.
Yeah, we have a few changes we'll be rolling out over the course of the next few podcasts.
We've got several departments that want to make their
presence stamp
on the podcast forum. This should all be edited out. We still have the boop. You'll all be happy to know that we'll be bleeping out, as usual, things that are terrible.
Not necessarily bad words, just bad conversation.
Yeah, we'll come back to that part later.
All right, so should we hear from our first department? Which department want to...
Let's go over to...
Real estate?
The real estate department. Yeah. So, real estate prices in San Francisco. Rental prices in San Francisco.
Out of control.
Going kind of nuts. Emily and I just moved into a new place, as we just moved back to San Francisco. Actually, we found a bigger apartment for not that much more expensive and in a better neighborhood than our old place. But the process of searching around was kind of daunting.
Does it make you feel like you kind of got a good deal?
I think we definitely got
a good deal. And that your new landlord has no idea what's going on.
He seems a little... It's funny because we used to rent from one of the kind of like big property management firms.
Right.
And this is a guy who owns a building.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this guy doesn't look on Craigslist much, or right. he's just not as connected.
Yeah.
Now the building itself is a bit more old fashioned. It probably could use a little more renovation than the place that was run by the property management company.
A little old timey.
Yeah. I mean, like we don't have like a buzz in system and stuff like that. So you know,
we don't have electricity. There's oil lamps. You know.
Yeah. Well, actually, we don't have heating. So he will provide us with like space heaters and stuff like
that. Oh,
wow. So it's
okay.
Like, it's a little bit older, but I mean, at the same time, you know, we moved six blocks or so up the hill out of the Tenderloin, or out of the heart of the Tenderloin at least. And so, like, a huge improvement in terms of the crack addict to block ratio, or the like prostitute to block ratio.
So you're in like the sub ones now, sort of like .75-ish, or
well, you occasionally get like people like I
who get lost. They're like, no, sorry, sir, the clinic is that way.
You do occasionally get that, but I mean, it's definitely a much more not homeless neighborhood.
It's weird because the What do you think attracts all those people to the Tenderloin? I mean, it's not... Well, are they homeless, or they're sort of just, like, wandering?
No, there are a lot of homeless people there, and the thing is there are a lot of services for homeless people there.
Right.
So there's soup kitchens, there's shelters.
So if they just shut all the shelters down, and the soup kitchens down, it'd be a nice place.
Wow. It is a nice place.
Is that what you're saying?
I mean, no. Tenderloin is a nice place if you can get over the poo. There's lots of poo on the ground.
Suppose, for example, I just wasn't into that. If I wanted to make it, and I'm using air quotes here, a nice place, minus the poo, would I benefit by just shutting down all the services?
It would certainly help the people who are trying to sell property in that neighborhood. I mean, I lived there for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, something like that, and it was a good place to live. You did have to get used to like all the
insanity.
Yeah, and the sort of like unhygienic conditions, you know, that were all around. But it was a pretty good place. And you did have, like, I saw numerous fights from my street. I saw the police seriously taking people down every once in a while, like, you know, kicking, you know, people wow. and that sort of thing. And
news you can use.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there were some interesting moments. But I don't know. Like, on the one hand, I don't want to say, like, oh, that... I guess it's just sort of like a weird kind of sensitivity thing, but like I don't want to be like, oh, well, if you just got rid of homeless shelters, that would, you know, make it better, because it would probably make it worse.
Would it?
Like, before it made it better,
well,
you'd have...
Well, I mean, it's always darkest for the dawn, you know? I mean, I'm being facetious just so everybody knows, but at the same time, I'm just curious. Like, it is kind of, it's sort of an irony, right? Like, I mean, they are attracted, I mean... Yeah, homeless shelters attract homeless people, right? And, you know, like, drug shelters or drug clinics attract drug addicts.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, those people, I don't know, they just sort of, like, that kind of culture or that sort of, like, just presence spreads around that kind of area. It's like sort of a...
Well, there's a lot, I mean, they're not... It's not all the same people, but there are like overlaps in the Venn diagram.
Sure.
You know, you've got your homeless loop and your drug addict loop,
right?
And your prostitute loop, and there's some space in the middle, and that's the Tenderloin.
Okay.
Just kidding.
So which loop are you in? So now that you're just next to the Tenderloin.
We're just outside that. You know, you still get some people from the various loops. We're near a big hospital.
Yeah.
Also, you know, you get...
Because, yeah, I mean, it's like sort of, if you shut down all those clinics, then those people would not congregate around that area anymore because there's nothing there for
them. Well, but the drug dealers would still be there. And like, but you might see a trickling away.
Yeah.
And then, I actually remember there was a house, an actual house for sale. I think actually you and I went into that house and checked it out.
It was like a weird open house.
Yeah,
right?
and it looked like the house had some like strange illicit deals and things going on, because there were just these oddly placed interior windows, so you could like look into one room or the hallway from another room and conduct business through these windows and that sort of thing. And but I remember thinking, like, wow, decent. Maybe it was a three bedroom house or something, two and a half, three bedroom house with a big basement and garage in the heart of San Francisco. I bet you that place was not going for, you know, more than $500,000.
Right. And it's probably just for the land. I mean, if you bought that or if I bought that, I would just raise it.
Right.
Burn it to the ground. Wouldn't even want to touch it. Just burn it. And I mean, it had a really huge like driveway. You could probably fit like 10 cars in there.
Well, not that many, but it was sizable.
Yeah.
It was definitely sizable.
I mean, like, what I'm saying is you could just turn it into a parking lot and instantly,
that's true. And
you could instantly just make
cash.
Money. You know, like, I mean, I don't know how much it costs to, you know, park a car downtown San Francisco, but, you know,
right.
10 cars you could fit on there.
Right. Though the thing is, it's far enough removed from, like, the financial district that you're not actually going to get a lot of people wanting to drive.
All I'm saying is, like, it's a pretty big lot,
yeah.
A pretty big driveway on top of the structure that was there.
Yeah.
You know, you could build an amazing building there, you know, of any sort. You could build a house, you could build a business or something like
yeah.
that. And yet, I think your point is nobody wanted to do that.
Right. Right. Because it was a, like... It was a kind of gnarly corner,
yeah.
You know? I still walk through there every day on my way to the BART, and it's, you know, it's... I still like the neighborhood, but at the same time, I'm like, there's something to be said for, like, people not pooing right outside your door, you know? That was my big thing about the Tenderloin, poo. Like, it's funny, like, I don't mind, like, that people were always offering me drugs or, you know...
Right.
There were, you know, prostitutes and stuff like that. It was like poo. It was really...
Well, I think that's kind of what I'm saying also. Like, if you... Well, maybe you should say, well, let's put a bunch of porta potties everywhere so that people can do that. Because, I mean, yeah, like, if you are homeless, you know, and you have to go to the bathroom, what do? Obviously, no store owner is going to, like, really be excited about letting you into their business.
Right.
And you can't go knock on the door, hey, man, do you mind if I use your bathroom? It's like, no. Actually, yes, I do mind. And no, you may not use my bathroom.
Yeah.
Go away.
Well, you know what, though? It's an interesting thing, though, because there is a difference, I think, in between urban settings and people asking for things and in more rural areas?
Well, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, I mean, people... I mean, there's a higher sense of neighborliness in a rural area.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I think there's sort of this... You become immune, but sort of desensitized to, like, your fellow man when you're in, like, this, like, urban jungle, as it were.
And also there's... I think there's a fear of the... In the urban setting, there's a greater fear of the, you know, give them an inch and they'll take a whole yard or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, I do want to help this guy, but if I let him, you know, use my bathroom, is he going to shoot heroin up in there?
Well, yeah,
is
he, right.
You know,
I mean, they have those around that area. They have those public toilets where you can, like, pay a quarter or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, and I guess, like, you know, you go in there. I have never been in one, actually, but I sort of imagine it's just completely, like, non-porous materials, plastic. Yeah. You know, so you go in there, it closes, you do whatever it is you were going to do in there, shoot heroin, go to the bathroom, whatever.
Maybe both.
And then, like, probably
get the most for your quarter.
This huge gush of water just, like, sprays everything down. Like,
you think it's that advanced?
I mean, I don't know.
That they're, like, I doubt they're really that good at self-cleaning. I don't know.
I feel like then what's the point? Because I feel like the minute one person goes in, they're just going to, like, destroy it. You know what I mean? And then it's going to be unusable.
Hate mail can be sent to irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com.
Care of Scott.
And Sachin. Though that actually, you know, the public bathroom thing, I think that merits the development of a new Irregular Search for Truth department, the Investigative Reports Department.
Okay.
And we can actually do some searching.
All right.
On the Irregular Search for
you
Truth.
You let me know how that bathroom turns.
I was going to put you in charge of that.
I nominated you first. You walk by there all the time.
I created the department, so I think I get to nominate who runs that department.
Well, this is a bureaucracy in action, isn't it?
We need an intern.
Anybody who wants to go to the bathroom in San Francisco at the intersection of Hyde and Ellis or wherever, let me know.
Applicants for our internship position can write to irregularsearchfortruth@gmail.com. You might never get a response.
But this isn't one of those internships where you just sit there and, like, get coffee. Like, we will give you things. We have a list of things to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, number one, we just came up with it.
You could go take photos and samples.
Yeah.
See what the lab returns.
But yeah, anyway, going back to, like, these bathrooms, it's like, because there is this problem, right? And it's, like, sort of like almost a humane issue. It's like, well, these people are people and they need a place to go to the bathroom. Like, everybody goes to the bathroom. People go to the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's almost like, well, obviously there's poop everywhere because they have nowhere to go and nobody's going to help them out, understandably. So let's make these public toilets that they can use. But then, you know, obviously the minute that they use it or, like, 10 people use it,
right,
it becomes destroyed, right? So it's like, well, then is it making it worse or is it making it better? Because now we have to pay somebody to go clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas you just hose down the street.
Power washers. And there's a lot of power washing that goes on.
And there's something to say for a lack of privacy when it comes to people shooting up heroin, I guess, right?
Yeah. That's true.
So, I mean, if you're going to, like, you don't want to enable them, but at the same time, you want to give, like, you know, here, look, here's the bathroom. But at the same time, it's like, oh, now I'm enabling, like, crime and drug use and who knows what is going on in there, right? So are you enabling people by feeding them and giving them a place to sleep? Whereas, like, maybe they'd go somewhere else if they can't just, like, show, oh, well, I'll just go to the Tenderloin.
I don't know. Whoa. You got back up there. Because there's a difference between enabling somebody by giving them access to drugs or a place to, you know, use their drugs or something, and enabling somebody by feeding them and putting them, like,
well, no, I mean, you're enabling, I mean, you're, okay, this is not about drugs, this is about going to the bathroom,
right? Okay. Right.
I mean, like, there's, you said, it's like people go to the bathroom on the street all the time because they have no place to go, so let's enable them. This is just a humane issue almost. It's like,
right,
we should give them a place to go to the bathroom,
right?
Right. This thing has been turned around and made much worse.
Well, I don't know if it has. I mean, like, we haven't done our investigative report yet.
Well, let's just assume that we have. I mean, let me put it this way. If you went to the bathroom, I'd give you a quarter. Would you hold it, or would you use one of these bathrooms?
I would probably open up the door. If you gave me the quarter, I would check it out.
All right.
I might decide not to use that bathroom.
Okay.
Thereafter. But maybe they are incredibly clean and well maintained.
Yeah.
There's always like city street cleaning guys down there.
Because they have to clean it probably like every hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
That's why they're always there.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Right? It's like, but you don't have to clean a public bathroom every hour. You have to clean it like, you know, often because so many people use it. But I mean, like.
Well, people also like, it's interesting. I feel like in the history of the irregular search for truth, the tragedy of the commons concept has come up.
I didn't want to bring it up because I felt like we've tread over that ground a lot.
We have, but here we've hit it again. I think the tragedy of the commons might be one of just those universal truths that you find. It's like the number
right.
E.
Right.
You find it in nature.
Right.
Quite a lot. And I think the public bathrooms, even like... Let's get away from the tenderloin and picking on, you know, the tenderloin.
Let's move into just general bathrooms.
Like, no, seriously, like public restrooms at a university, at a, you know, at a sports arena, wherever. It's like there is a serious, like, tragedy of the commons sort of thing. Like, oh, you know, I pissed on the toilet seat. I'm not going to clean it up.
I don't know that's true unless you're, like, speaking of a certain clientele of people. Like, I mean...
Ooh, I don't know. That sounds like class warfare.
Well, I'm about nothing if not class warfare.
Really, which side are you, of the 99% versus 1 are you on?
I'm on the 5%, I think.
You're in the top 5%?
I have no idea. I mean, I think the top 5% is a lot lower than we really think.
Well, the top 1%, apparently, I read an article, is actually 300.
That's what I'm saying. It's not that high. I mean, obviously, it's not obvious, but I don't make that much. Not that it's your business. Or your
intern,
business. Don't look at me, intern. It's not your business. No, but so, I mean, I'm just saying it's like, it's $300,000 is a lot of money, but it's not as much as you would think when you think top 1%. You think millions and millions and millions, right?
Well, but I mean, you got to think that the top 1% of the population of the United States is 3 million people.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, but
so,
still.
So, I mean, I don't think anybody thought 3 million people were making millions and millions of dollars. Maybe they did. I don't know.
When you say top 1%, it just makes it sound like a lot of money, right? I mean,
yeah,
these are like the richest of the richest of the rich.
Yeah.
Like, not the top 10%, not the top 5%, the top 1%.
Yeah.
So it just goes to say, at least what I'm trying to say is, $300,000, that doesn't seem like a ton of money when you're like the 1% richest person in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think millions and billions. But obviously, as you said, if you think about it for a little bit longer, you realize that, okay, that's probably not millions and millions. It's $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the top 5% or 10% making? I think if you live in California, just by having a job, you're already in the top, like, 10 or 25%, I would say.
Really?
All right, the top...
25, maybe.
Okay, top 25. Mm-hmm. But just by virtue of living here, you know, it's like everything costs way more here.
Well, maybe in the Bay Area.
All right.
But no,
if you live in San Francisco, live in San Francisco, which I do...
Yeah.
Just to live here, they have to pay you more.
Yeah.
Right. So just by virtue of that, I'm in the top 50.
How do you think a city works that over time? Like, what is it that somehow this area has become such that, you know, is it just like an escalating thing? Like, hey, we could charge a little more for this. And then the next people are like, well, we have to pay a little more. And then we could charge a little more for this. And
well, it's just supply and demand, right? I mean... People want to live here.
Hmm.
I don't want to name a city where people don't want to live, but there's plenty of examples, I think.
Wow.
Where's the rent low? People don't want to live there.
We're really short ways into volume 3, and we have already done the tragedy of the commons, and we've been rather offensive.
I don't know if that's offensive. It's just like, it's just supply and demand, right? It's just economics.
That's true.
It's a dismal science, you know? I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, I mean, everything's just more expensive here, so therefore you make more than most people, I feel, doing the exact same work.
Mm.
And me, you know, I'm an engineer, so luck. I'm fortunate to have a, you know, a stable profession or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I do make a little more than like the person next. I don't know. In this city, actually, I'm not even that. I mean, there's all sorts of lawyers and financiers here, and other people, you know, who do things that I don't even understand and make a lot more money than I do. Whereas, like, maybe if I lived out in the suburbs or something like that, I might be surrounded by more down to earth people as opposed to people who like make tons and tons of money, I guess, right? Mm. But in a financial center like San Francisco, you're going to be surrounded by people who make so much money.
Mm. And people who poop on the street.
It's a dichotomy, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a strange disparity there.